Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is James Dick on a Thursday morning with North Florida Writer Live. And you're probably wondering why I was playing those church bells. Well, church bells are something in this country that are normally, they're rung when something exciting has happened, something really good, like winning a war, or some special occasion, or maybe even something special in politics, depending on which side of the aisle you sit on. And I'm playing those today because we've got something coming up in November which is critical for America. I'm going to tip that to you here in just a second. But what happens there, at least in my opinion, determines whether or not we're going to want to ring church bells or, well, I don't want to think about the other option. Here's what's going to happen, folks. There we go. A little glitch there. Sorry about that. That, of course, was Hail to the Chief, and I played that because, of course, in November, actually in just about 5 months from today, we're going to have the presidential election. And if all holds true to form, but things can always change, right now it looks like it's going to be Donald Trump running as a Republican. Bit of a surprise, not any longer, but it sure was when the thought of it came up originally. And, of course, Hillary Clinton. Hillary, who's wanted to be president ever since Bill, and she's been riding his coattails ever since, although I don't know that the coattails are doing so well when you start looking below the surface. But obviously that tells you where I stand on the issue and where I am. But really, I want to talk about something in the in-between right now. I want to talk about the Republican National Committee, what's going on in the party, and how they're so upset about what's going on, and yet they have absolutely no one to blame but themselves. My regular guest, Mark Collier, is supposed to be with us in a while. He hasn't shown up yet, so I'm going to continue on, and if something happens and he couldn't get through, well, we'll continue on with a little bit different thrust to make my point. First, I want to go over the pictures. And first is a picture of Thomas Jefferson. I'm not going to go into a detail on these right yet, but we'll talk about them a little bit later. Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States, the writer of the Declaration of Independence, a man who believed in true liberty and freedom and fought for the cause primarily with his writing and his speaking since day one. That's what he did. And then there's kind of the opposite side of the coin, but also an American patriot, Andrew Jackson, the man who they just took off the $20 bill, which I think is sad. Andrew Jackson was a very powerful man. He was a warrior, but he also believed in this country. But he was concerned that certain aspects of the country were being controlled by people that had too much power, and so he fought the bank system. And frankly, we've been fighting the bank system ever since, right now, of course, with the Fed. So Jackson, while he had his detractors, there were some good things about him, too, and they were the contrasts. Then I got, of course, the cross, the flag, and the Bible, indicating that this country of ours was founded under God, and I hope we will always remember that. It's very important. We need God at our side always. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can help us through all things. But when we ignore him and look away from him, he lets our free will going its own course, and sometimes that's not for the good. Then there's a picture of Donald Trump standing with Ted Cruz. This was early in the primary season when those guys were kind of working together a little bit before the big spats erupted. And I put them both up because I think they're both very important people. I think they're both very special people. Trump is obviously in this thing for, I think, the right reasons. There are people that say, oh, he just wants more money and he wants this. I think Donald Trump has looked at what's going on in the country and he thinks it's horrible. Matter of fact, he talks about it routinely that way, and I think he's correct. And he wants it changed, and he thinks he can do a lot to help change it. And whether you like him or not, he's brought the issues to the forefront, and he's fearless in talking about them. And I don't know about some of you, but I was extremely pleased to see him call out the press the other day on the issue about the donations, because they deserve it. And I think if he does become president, they're not going to be able to kick him around. I don't think that's going to happen anymore, because Republicans tend to be generally way too soft-spoken sometimes when it's under pressure. You know, George Bush would just sit back and take it. Good Christian man that he is, but in that position, sometimes you got to defend yourself, and I just don't think he did enough of it, and I think that led to part of our problems later. Then is Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama. Love Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions first wanted to be a federal judge. Congress would not allow his name to come up. The Democrats blocked it. He decided, okay, I'm going to run for the Senate instead. He did, and he's been up there for quite a while. He is probably the most knowledgeable guy in the Senate by far on the issue of immigration, and he's absolutely opposed to free trade the way it is currently structured. We'll talk about that a little bit later, too. Then there's what I call the border outrage, and that shows all of those people coming across the border from the south, from Mexico, illegally crossing the fence, with the Border Patrol just kind of standing by because they basically have had their hands tied behind their back. I just learned that in the most recent statistical year, which was 2013, of the data, 1.5 million immigrants entered the United States, and of that, over a third were illegal, and they're still here. We can't do like this, folks. We can't take in 1.5 million immigrants a year and keep this country America. And we have a right for it to be America. It's a sovereign country. It needs its borders protected. And if we don't do that, it's over. And a lot of you, depending on where you live, if you look around you, you can see in many ways that's happening now. People that don't want to speak English, they don't want to have anything to do with the American society. They walk around carrying foreign flags. They burn air flags. This just isn't appropriate, and we don't need to. I don't think we should put up with this any longer. It needs to be stopped. And that's a lot of the push behind Donald Trump. That was the first issue that he brought out. They thought they could ruin him with it. The left did, and the media. They weren't successful. Instead, he's gained much more support. Then I show a picture of the former House Speaker, John Boehner, and Mitch McConnell. And, of course, after that is a picture of Paul Ryan, the current House Speaker. The interesting thing here is that, you know, the Republicans won the House in 2010, took charge of the House, and they've had the majority ever since. But they haven't done very much with it. We've elected some good conservatives, but they're not big enough in number. There are too many of the old rhinos, Republicans in name only. Some of them, I think, really Democrats just hiding in disguise. And it's sad to say that they just haven't done anything. So Boehner finally got forced out, but then they replaced him with Paul Ryan, and Paul Ryan turns out to be basically just another John Boehner. Oh, he talks about conservatism, but his actions don't belie that. He will do nothing to cut down the number of people coming from Syria that are not vetted, none of them, to the United States as immigrants. He won't cut any of the funding for it. Matter of fact, he's gone along with all of Obama's funding requirements, allowing him to just go wild with this stuff. And yet he says that Donald Trump isn't conservative, and that's his concern, why he won't, so far at least, endorse him. And it just amazes me that this guy can talk about anybody else about what's conservative, because they've done nothing that I would call really being conservative for a long time up there. And then lastly, I put up a picture of the Liberty Bell, a Liberty Bell for freedom. That's what Americans want. They want some protection and some safety, but they also want some freedom. Small businesses want to be able to operate. They don't want to be taxed out of existence. They don't want to be told everything that they have to do. You know, they want to regulate salt. They want to regulate who comes everywhere. They want to regulate who you employ. They want to regulate how much you pay, all this kind of stuff. And employers, particularly small employers, can't survive in that environment. And so instead we've ended up with crony capitalists, the ones who link themselves to the big government fellas, and they work together. The capitalists make the money they want, but the politicians stay in power. We've lost capitalism in America, folks. We've got crony capitalism. They're not even akin to one another. And so that's some of the things that we want to change. So I'm still waiting on my good friend Mark, but he's not with us yet. So what I'm going to do is I think I'll put up a little bit of music, and we'll see if he doesn't come in. And I had it marked here, but I've just got to find it real quick. Okay, let's see. It's coming. It's a little slow. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit slow on this thing today. We're not doing so well. We're going to play Stones, and here's Jumpin' Jack Flash, and I'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
He seems to be ready.
Are you ready?
For the next time.
We're going to the delay. Everybody ready?
Well, I've done
the biggest
one
to visit
a lot of places in America.
The biggest
one in New York.
The
first
place
for you.
The Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones.
The greatest rock and roll band in the world. The Rolling Stones.
The Rolling
Bye.
that was from a live performance in England by the Rolling Stones. They're still running around, not as lively as they used to be, but they still do their thing. You know, folks, I find it truly amazing listening to the Republican National Committee members, especially Reince Priebus, their chairman, as they complain about Donald Trump. And Reince is trying to tone it down a little bit. I think he's finally reading the tea leaves, maybe. But they complain because they say that Trump doesn't support conservatism. And I understand that he's not the kind of conservative that a lot of people would like. He's not totally conservative. I don't think he's really a liberal either. I think he's a pragmatist. But, you know, sometimes that's what you need. I mean, America's in a bad situation. But I would ask the Republicans who talk about this conservatism thing, and I'm talking about the guys like Ryan and Orrin Hatch in the Senate, Pat Toomey in the Senate, you know, all these guys, Kelly Ayotte. I would just ask, what exactly have you done that's conservative? It seems to me that after Romney gave the 2012 election away, and I say he gave it away because that night that he was in the debate with Obama and he allowed Candy Crowley to run him under the bus, and he meekly stood there and took it, it was over. And so what did the Republicans do after that? Instead of deciding, well, we've got to get our conservative message back, we've got to get strong again. No, they immediately embarked on a campaign to be more like the Democrats. And they did that even though a mere 2 years prior, Congress turned Republican by a landslide, largely because of the Tea Party. Fast forward 2 years after that 2012 election, to 2014, the same thing happened in the Senate. And so many of those elected under the guise of change their words. Why? Because they got the signal from, and I will call him the gutless Mitch McConnell, the new Senate Majority Leader, when the day after the election he made the statement that we will never shut the government down under any circumstances. Now, nobody wants the government shut down, but the government being shut down is really what led to them winning, because people are fed up with the government, the way it operates. So what McConnell did by making that statement the day after the election, when he became Senate Majority Leader, was basically to tell the President of the United States, you can continue to do what you want, unraveling the Constitution, because I'm not going to do a damn thing about it. So let me name some of the politicians in the Republican Party, and I'm going to talk about the Senate right now, because the Senate seems to be the really weak link. Some of these guys have been around a long time, and there are more than the ones I'm listing, but I'm just going to pick out a few. John McCain. John McCain never has found a conservative that he didn't prefer to take on instead of a Democrat. Then there's Mitch McConnell. Mealy-mouthed, wimpy, unless he's dealing with a Republican that doesn't agree with him. Then he's all Mr. Tough Guy. Lindsey Graham, not going to say anything more about him except just listen to him talk. The guy is out in la-la land. He thinks people listen to him. Nobody cares what he thinks. Kelly Ayotte, I knew when they ran her, there was a very good real conservative running in the primary against her who lost, and she got it, and she's no conservative, folks. She's no conservative at all. When she was one of the 10 Republicans that helped Jessica Lynch get her nomination through to be Attorney General, I knew she wasn't a conservative. Marco Rubio, although he may have changed his way, you know, Marco started out, or at least in Florida, as being a conservative, and he was elected by conservatives. But the first thing, of course, he did when he went to Washington is support Chuck Schumer's immigration fiasco. And he tried to help push it through, and frankly, he lost a lot of support because of that, and a lot of people still don't support him. He's made some changes. I just hope he's sincere about them. Then there's a guy appropriately named Jeff Flake from Arizona. There's nothing conservative about Jeff Flake. Pat Toomey. Pat Toomey, hard to figure him out sometimes. He's conservative on some issues, but on others, he's quite liberal. All these guys seem to think that, oh, we need to evolve. Well, some things you don't evolve on. And then, and in one respect, worst of all, is Orrin Hatch. I listened to Orrin Hatch promise Mark Levin before he was reelected, because he thought he had a rough road to it, how he would support the conservative causes, and he sold everything out since he went back up there. And some of these guys are old. I mean, McCain is old, McConnell's old, Hatch is old. They need to go home. It's time to go home and retire. You've made plenty of money. You know, these guys make $174,000 or so a year, but at the end of their terms, particularly if they stay there a while, they always end up wealthy, which always makes you wonder why, you know? I mean, public service, really? You get wealthy? It shouldn't be that way, you know. But, of course, if you listened to my show about Congressman X a week or so ago, you'll know why. The lobbyists take care of all that for them. But all of these individuals and what they've done led to Trump coming to the forefront. And that's why I say that the RNC has no one to blame but themselves. This has been coming a long time. But for some reason, they never look at anything outside of the Beltway or the Washington-New York corridor. And if you go outside of that area, you can see real quickly what people think. And it's not what these guys are preaching. And that's what brought Trump to the top, some major things. What do they want? Well, they want the borders secured. They don't want open access to the United States. They want people to be properly vetted. They want them to be coming if there is a need for them. They want them to have health screening. They don't want criminals. And they want there to be work that's necessary to be performed by them, not to replace good Americans, which is happening today. If that happened and that was controlled, and there are a lot of ways to do it, and they've toyed with a lot of ideas, but they've never really done anything. Number one, you wouldn't have computer programmers from big companies like Disney being laid off and replaced by people from overseas for cheaper rates. And you wouldn't have people like Kate Steinle being murdered by a illegal immigrant who'd been was back on about his fourth time in San Francisco, because there's a lot of that been going on, a lot of drunk driver accidents. And the government looks the other way most of the time. They don't for you, but they do for them. Now, there's something very wrong with that system. And then, of course, with the issues like ISIS and terrorism, an open border, I mean, where you can just walk across the border, and you can go down to Texas near the Rio Grande and take a look and watch it. Anybody can. They're told to stand down. So that's a real problem. Then there's the lifestyle issue. I mean, now we've even got the feds trying to tell you who's going to live where by putting quotas on neighborhoods. And so what they do, they even will take a nice, ritzy neighborhood. Now, let's face it, folks. People get jealous about people with money. I know that's a natural way to be sometimes, but it's wrong. If somebody's worked hard for their money and they've made it, they have a right to spend it. So they have a nice house and they like the area. So the government comes in and puts Section 8 housing in the middle of it because they want it equalized. Well, there goes the neighborhood in terms of its value. Your property drops and you turn what somebody's worked and dreamed for all their life into a royal mess. There's a realtor friend of mine here in the Gainesville area, Darlene Pafalo. She'll be on with me again soon to talk some more about this, because it's ongoing now and it's never been approved by Congress. But the trouble is, Congress has things they could do. They could defund some of these things, and they just won't do it. That's a major lifestyle issue. This is a lifestyle program. What about freedom of speech? Look what's going on, not just by politics, but by the progressives everywhere. Look at universities, safe rooms because people can't talk honestly. I mean, there was a case of somebody writing the word Trump on the back of a park bench, and all these people are in shock and have got to go to a safe room. Are you kidding me? Meanwhile, we got young men and women over in Afghanistan still being killed, even though Obama's war is over, remember? They're also being killed in Iraq because we've gotten back into that mess that we let get out of control again. And yet these coddled children, most of them are from families with money on college campuses, are acting like complete idiots. the only way I can describe that. Grow up, fellas, grow up. What about the right to bear arms? You know, where you have the right to bear arms, the crime rates always go down. Here in Florida, a lot of people have the carry permits. Crime dropped a lot when that happened. Criminals don't want to take you on if they think they might get killed. So when you put a no guns allowed sign up in front of a school, it's like a target, or in a restaurant or whatever it might be. Look at all the places where somebody's gone in and shot the place up, and it was one of those no gun zones. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. California and New York have some of the tightest gun laws, as well as Illinois. And look at Illinois. It's like Dodge City on the weekends, sadly, with mostly young people, even children being killed. And nothing happens about it, except they want to come up with some more gun control to stop it, which they haven't stopped with gun control. Figure that one out, folks. And then there's the point about faith. Faith, the right to express your faith. Obama uses that all the time, freedom of religion, but he applies it selectively, as he does on so many things. You know, Christians are pretty much locked out of a lot of things now. I mean, let me put it this way. If you go into a city that heavily occupied with Muslims, and this is particularly true up in Michigan, they'll have chants coming out of these mosques, and it's real loud, and it bothers people in the neighborhood. Try that at a Christian church in a neighborhood and see how long that lasts. See what happens. They'll shut them down. They'll silence them. You know, that's just what we've allowed to happen, and we need to bring it back. We need to bring it back. So, I wanted to point out about the immigration issue, because we talked about immigration a little bit, but I want to talk about it from the standpoint of the illegal immigrants that are also these refugees who nobody knows what they are, what they stand for, really where they came from. And most of those are Muslims, because that's where the problem is. If you go over and you look at Syria, you look at Iraq, you look at Afghanistan, you look at Libya, you look even further south in Africa, where Muslims have taken over parts of countries and they are having bloodbaths, and most of the people that are dying, some of them are good Muslims who don't want to follow this branch, if you will. Others are, of course, Christians, lots of Christians, as well as some other sects, because they basically say you either support us and follow our religion and commit to it, or you're going to die, or we're going to make you a slave, or we're going to tax the blazes out of you, and even then they'll probably come back for you later. That's what's been going on. But just in the last month alone, we took 1,035 Muslims in from Syria, most dangerous place in the world because nobody's vetted there. The government basically doesn't exist, so it's hard to check anything. We brought in two Christians, 1,035-2 ratio, and that's real good. And that's by our supposedly Christian president. Yeah, right. Come on, folks. So it's just a mess. And then on top of that, when you look at Donald Trump and what he said, he's come up with a pretty good tax program, lower taxes so that businesses can survive, also for individuals, and it's easy to do. It's not going to require all that long-form stuff that we've been doing. He's got an immigration program, and if people don't like it, some don't. Lots do. A lot like it that kind of keep quiet. Even a lot of Mexican-Americans, those who are citizens, because they see their jobs at risk by all the illegals coming over. And they did it the right way. They followed the rules. So enforce the law is the first step. And, you know, that should be in any case, because that's what the main job of the president is, to be the chief enforcer of the law. And this president likes to just selectively choose, as well as Hillary would through the statement she's already made. She said that if she's elected president within 100 days, the borders will be permanently open. Her words, not mine, folks. So you got to think about that. But when you go to Donald Trump, it's amazing. All these cushy jobs that these people hold, you know, in the Republican Party and in different political offices, they will fight to keep that power and that lifestyle, regardless of what it means to the country. That's the sad part about it. I mean, you look at what these guys do. They vote for, you know, runaway spending. I mean, we're pushing $20 trillion in debt just on the budget. But when you look at the unfunded, which is, of course, the what the commitments we've made for Social Security and other benefits, it's $200 trillion. $200 trillion can never be repaid. It's impossible. So we've got one major league huge problem, and it's truly, truly sad. So that's a big deal, and they say that he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he doesn't have any good advisors. But he's got Jeff Sessions as the one who advised him on immigration. Jeff Sessions is the one that fought it from day one and understands every aspect of it. I remember years ago when George Bush was president and he was trying to push through the amnesty, and Jeff Sessions is the one that led the battle. And he got enough people concerned, people listening in, called in and wrote in, and finally they backed off on it. So he's a pit bull on it. He's a smart man. He's a good lawyer. Then if you're looking at on the money side, we've got Art Laffer, Reagan's guy, and even Larry Kudlow, who was working for Reagan. He's involved. He's involved. But of the supposed conservative Republicans, not just the elected officials, but the ones who want to be rid of Trump because they think, oh, he's going to destroy the country. No, he's going to destroy them and their power. That's a different story altogether. Number one is Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol, the Weekly Standard. Bill Kristol was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he got this little magazine, the Weekly Standard. It's okay, but it's not setting any worlds on fire. And Bill Kristol thinks that he should be the one to pick a president, so he's decided it's not going to be Trump. So he says, I'm going to come up with a third party, and we're going to find a really great candidate to run. And we found out he was asking all kinds of people, and nobody wanted to do it. So he has come up with his wonderful candidate, and his name is David French. David French. Who's David French? He's a writer for the National Review. And that brings up another point. The National Review, when Bill Buckley had it, founded it, was a wonderful conservative magazine. Today, it's just lost all of its standard. It's just not very good. It's actually pretty pathetic. And then the Libertarians, not to be outdone by Bill Kristol, they have Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico. Sometimes when you hear him talk, he sounds pretty good. Other times he sounds like a wild man. I know this week he came out and said on 73% of the issues he agrees with Bernie Sanders. That's right. 73% he agrees with Bernie Sanders. I'll say no more about that. But I think what these guys are doing is they're thinking that they can somehow keep Trump from being elected by taking enough away. I don't think they can do it with Gary Johnson or with David French. I could be wrong. But I'll tell you this, folks. If we allow Hillary Clinton or a Bernie Sanders or even a Joe Biden, there's talk about Biden being the guy to come in and save the Democrats from Hillary, we're going to be just where we are now, because any of those three will keep the country going in the wrong direction that it's headed today. We either stop it and turn it back. And is Trump perfect? Absolutely not. Can you trust him? I trust him more than I don't. But then again, have you ever seen any politician that always delivered on what he said? I mean, Cruz talks about delivering. I like Cruz. He's a good man. He's honest. But he did what he said he could do, but it didn't deliver anything for the country because he didn't have the power. So you got to work with people whether you want to or not. And you know what? That doesn't mean you have to sell out to them, but you do have to work with them. You got to make them at least do what you want done. And there's ways of doing that, I think. Otherwise, we're probably not going to make it anyway. Which brings up my last point, and it's about McConnell and Ryan. I listened to a couple of conservative radio people yesterday talk about how Donald Trump said that he talked to the big donors because Donald needs some donors for the presidential campaign at this level because, you know, it takes an awful lot of money. And Donald's been pretty generous, but, you know, when you get into the crunch mode here this last time, the amount of advertising and things that have to be done are beyond Donald. I mean, he could fly around and do that stuff, but there's a lot more that needs to be done. And thankfully, a lot of people are starting to come around. I just wish Ted Cruz would, because I think Cruz would probably be offered a great position and he's a young man, and he could come back in a few years, because I doubt that Trump's going to want to do this for 8 years. I think he just wants it for four. Who knows? But I just think that I'd like to have him tied in here because he has a lot to offer, and I like him a lot. And I've lost a lot of friends because I ended up supporting Trump, and I did it because I think he's the one who can deliver because he's fearless about it. But having said that, when you talk about McConnell and Ryan, Trump was quoted as saying that he made the donors all happy because he told them that McConnell and Ryan would not be fired. So they all came on the air and they said, Trump says he'll keep McConnell and Ryan. Well, in this constitutional form of government that we have, folks, how can the President of the United States remove them? It would be up to the bodies to remove them. The Senate's not going to remove them. They still got a lot of rhinos. They're not going anywhere. And so does the House. There are a lot of people that call themselves conservative in the House that really aren't. And therein lies the problem with that. So I'm not worried about that. I would rather have him call them in and say, here's what I want to get done, and I need you to work with me to get this done, because otherwise I'm going to have to go around you to the people. And that's the only thing they understand. And I think he'll do that if he needs to. I don't think he's going to cave. I think he's going to – the things that he considers really important, I think he's going to follow through. There might be some give and take on some others, but there always is. Even Ronald Reagan did that, you know. People forget that, but he did. They all do. It's a question of how much and when, and what's the end result. Would I rather have a Jeffersonian-type person? Absolutely. But, you know, I don't know that we could ever have somebody like that elected, just like the Democrats could never have another John Kennedy elected. They consider him a right-wing fanatic by today's standards. So we just need to face the reality of the situation and move on. But we've got to get the Democrats out of the White House, because I think Trump will appoint good people to work for him. And remember, the president is like the front man, the pitch man. He's the ego booster. He keeps the country comfortable with what's going on. But all these people that get appointed are the ones that have got to get something done. And believe me, with all of the people that Obama has put into career positions, they're going to have their work cut out for them, clean house. The Justice Department is a swamp. So is Homeland Security. It's a disaster. I think it ought to be shut down, because it certainly doesn't have anything to do with Homeland Security. It really doesn't if you look at what's going on. And there are others. You know, Education Department's a problem. A lot of problems. I think Trump will look at them. I think that they'll be looking for the costs and the impact and what they've accomplished. And I think they're going to be doing some of that. And that's why I don't think people should be disheartened. The only way I'm going to be disheartened is if we wake up the day after the election and it's a never Hillary or a Bernie in the White House. Because I truly think if that happens, America as we know it is completely done. It's almost done now in many ways, but it's still salvageable. But if that happens, I think we're done. And I truly believe that. So that's my show for today. I don't know what happened to my guest, Mark. I guess maybe he had weather problems, because he calls in from the satellite up in the Carolina Mountains. They may have had some weather up there. But anyway, I'll get him back on again before long. And in the meantime, this or any of my programs, you can listen to any of them by going to blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live, blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live. All of my shows are maintained on demand there, and you're welcome to listen to them. And my next show will be my Sunday morning coming down devotional. I'm working on that now. It will probably be up and running early in the weekend at the latest. I like to have it up both Saturday and Sunday so that people can listen. Anyway, folks, God bless you all, and be safe out there. Get your work week finished, and you'll be able to spend some time at Margaritaville tomorrow afternoon at 5, because Friday's coming quick. Had a short week. But God bless you. Have a great day and a great rest of the week. And God bless the USA. We're closing with that very subject. Here's Lee Greenwood. God bless the USA, and bye now.
Tomorrow all the things were gone. I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.